Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Lord Terry's Power Hour, a show where we create our own reality. Thanks for joining us. So, pull up a chair and enjoy the adventure. And now, here's Lord Terry.
Good forever in the world you are. This is Reverend Terry Power, and these are the Power Hours. So welcome aboard, everybody. And tonight, we are going to be talking about the evolving gender role. And this is, and of course, I'm joined tonight by my lady, my love, my co-host, Robin McKean. Hi, darling.
Hi, honey.
Hi.
And we talk a lot on the show about some of our experiences and things that we run into, conversations that that we have and ultimately share with you guys. And one of those was brought about by a workshop at an event we recently attended, and I was busy doing other things and did not attend this workshop. And in some ways, it's probably best I wasn't there, and in some ways, I'm very sad that I didn't hear the conversation. But I know that it was, what's the word to look for? Contentious.
Yes, somewhat contentious would be an excellent description.
And a lot of people expressed to me their fundamental displeasure and disagreement with the contentious person. So why don't you share for our listeners what it was that you got out of that and how the 2 weeks of conversation since that workshop has evolved into this this show tonight?
Well, it all started rather innocently when I decided I would attend a workshop about the goddess Lilith. And one of the people in the workshop passed around pictures of Lilith. And one of her pictures was of that of the her aspect of the baby killer. And we were all talking about what we felt it meant for women at that time, and which led us forward into how women's roles have evolved and what did we how did we want it to change or stay the same going forward. And there was a faction of I'm 53. And there was a faction of younger women, but not super young. They weren't like, you know, 20. But I would say late 20s, early 30s, maybe mid-30s, who were absolutely emphatic about the fact that women today are more educated, making more money, and financially able to stand on their own 2 feet and didn't need to have a man in their life for anything. And that in the future they felt that women would start raising children and living together in sort of, you know, shared housing with each other. So in one house you'd have three women with their collective children, and they'd all support each other. And so there would be no role in that household for a male role model. And I was just sort of so taken aback by that was really how they felt would be best to go forward. I don't care whether it's two men, two women, or a man and a woman. I really think children need to have role models that take the mom aspect and the dad aspect. And you can have two women do that. You can have two men do that. And you can have, you know, a man and a woman do that. It doesn't necessarily have to be cut down gender line. But I really felt pretty emphatically myself that having been a single mom, that it is not easy. And even if you have the support of other single moms in the house, they have their own kids to deal with. They're not going to be dealing with your kids that much. I babysit now for some kids during the day, and it's really sometimes very difficult because it gets in the way of me and my own child. And I love those kids almost like my own. I've known them since they were both born. But, you know, it adds another dynamic. And when you have a partner in raising those children, somebody that loves you, somebody that is committed to the relationship and to the family of raising those kids, whether they are their biological parent or not, you know you can count on that person and you share that responsibility. And that support is so vital to the mother's well-being. I know who I was as a single mom and how frazzled and frustrated and unhappy I was at times because I was so overwhelmed with trying to do everything versus who I am now that I have a partner that supports me. And no matter how hard I tried to explain this to these women, they basically shouted me down and told me that when people who had views like mine were dead, finally there would be change. Made me feel like Archie Bunker. And I, like I said, I was really taken aback by how vehemently they believed this and how much they were pushing this agenda in this class. Now, I have to say I was not the only woman who felt this was an extreme agenda. There were other women in the class who did not agree. I also don't necessarily agree with their concept that women are more educated and more well-paid today than ever before. I do not agree with that. Women are still only making like 65 cents or 70 cents on the dollar to a man. So we are not getting equal pay. And education is harder to attain now because it is more expensive and there are less grants available. It used to be it was a lot easier to get federal grant money to go to college. Not so much anymore. It's possible, but it's a lot harder, and it's not as much money as it used to be, and it doesn't go as far. You know, the Pell Grant is like, you know, $5,000 per semester, I think, and average college tuition is like $15,000 per semester for a community college. Forget it if you want to go to a university. I just didn't agree with her assessment of where we were going. And so I kind of wanted to put it out there to our listenership and to you, Terry, to see how – am I wrong? Because maybe I am wrong. Maybe I am the Archie Bunker on this topic. But I still believe in a family unit. And think that –
the thought that comes to my mind – well, I thought you were done. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, the first thought that comes to my mind is, haven't we raised a few generations of children without men in their lives, without families, where women have been collectively taking care of each other's kids in some neighborhoods and raising these kids all together but without men in the world, without men in their lives, haven't we already been doing that?
You know, I think so, and I honestly I don't
and
think that it's
that
really been.
For it?
Yeah, I really don't think it's been.
It?
Yeah, not good.
Yeah.
I don't think.
I mean, those are my immediate thoughts. Is that?
Mm-hmm.
But we're already doing this, and it's not working out real well. You know, how are these kids turning out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're raising. We're raising a couple of generations of you know, males that don't understand manhood. We're raising them without any respect. I saw something the other day that said that the problem in this country is not the guns; it's the fact. You know, I mean, I grew up in the South. I grew up around guns all the time. Guns didn't jump up and shoot people when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I grew up around firearms and weapons, and the difference I see today is that there is a fundamental lack of respect. And I don't know, maybe it's just me, but it seems that the generations of children growing up without some sort of nuclear family,
mm-hmm.
without some sort of you know, two-parent home. And again, you're right. It could be, you know, same gender or hetero. It doesn't matter. The two families or the two adults, you know, raising kids, and particularly young men, need a male role model.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that actually teaches them how to be a man and not just how to get older and more abusive and less respectful. So, you know, those are my initial thoughts. I mean, I've been talking on Blog Talk Radio on this station for over a year and on a previous station.
Mm-hmm.
I've been talking about how we're not raising our young boys to be men.
Mm-hmm.
And to hear this stories of this woman, you know, talking
about... It
wasn't
just one woman. Right. That was the thing. It wasn't one lone voice. There were a couple of women who were on her page, for which I was really a little bit shocked, I have to admit. I was not expecting this.
Yeah, and to have that kind of attitude, well, that's not been working for us so far. What makes us think that this is going to make it better? You know, we've got just no good role models for men, for our boys to grow up to be, you know, to want to be, except for what, athletes and rap stars, I don't see a lot of positive male role models out there. And if there are any, then they get, you know, slammed and trashed by the media and run down or something. You know, you can't have, you know, anyone that's held up as a positive role model. You know, now we're making everybody afraid of police officers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's no respect for anything that remotely resembles authority these days.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what raising children without two parent households is going to be in the future, I'm pretty damn sure that I'm hoping that I am dead and gone when this starts.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to watch it. You know, our species is headed toward extinction if that kind of shit goes on, in my opinion. And I look forward to your letters, surn.org@gmail.com. You know, don't hesitate. Go ahead and send them in. I've got thick skin and broad shoulders. And, you know, let's go ahead and give the phone number. If anyone wants to call in and help us to understand or to agree with us and say, what the hell? Go ahead and call in the number 646-564-9714. Again, that's 646-564-9714. After it goes through all of the rigmarole and puts you in the queue, then you hit the one button. It throws up a flag and tells us what you want to talk. And as long as you can discuss the topic without name-calling or, arguing with the person instead of talking about the issue, then we want to hear what you got to say. If you start name-calling, running anybody down and don't talk about the issue itself, then I've got a little X button, and you will leave us. That's the only rule I got. Talk to the issue and disagree with me if you want, but talk to the issue. And again, that's 646-564-9714. So, anyway, I know you had some other thoughts on this as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so why don't you jump back in there, because I'm going to stand here on my soapbox and glower for a minute.
Well, I think that I think that for anybody to be thinking along the lines of basically, and I'm not against, people who feel that society could use an influx of a little more matriarchy and valuing the female energies and the energy of the mother. I am a mother, so, I see how women are discounted and devalued every single day. One of the things that I know about myself is that if I am trying to get a group of people to make a decision about something, and I have a good idea, and I know it's a good idea, I feel the need to over-talk it because I am sure that it will be overlooked because I'm a girl. And I've had to try to stop doing that in my life, but I've had people point it out to me. But I see it in other women as well. So I know that that's part of feeling like our opinions are not heard as well. So, and I get that. I really, really do. But I don't think that going forward, cutting men out, or as they were talking about in this seminar, forcing men to evolve to a more feminized state, which these women were talking about. They basically said men who do not evolve to embrace their feminine spirit and be more sensitive and be more like women, basically, we're going to be bred out. This is a little bit like eugenics. I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I can't believe I'm hearing this. So if you're a guy that's got big muscles and a lot of chest hair, and you're just very masculine in your appearance,
if you're around your testicles, then you're going to be
And if you look at the media, over the last 10 years, it's become a big thing for men to shave their chest hair or wax their chest hair, because this is now becoming more and more attractive. And so, look, I wonder at this. We get very upset about men wanting women to alter their looks, for these social standards. And there's this whole movement among women who, I'm not going to shave my armpit for my legs because, why should I do that for a man? But yet these same women are expecting men to get their chest hair waxed, and to be feminized and to embrace their sensitive side. And you know what? I think that I do think there are men out there who could use a little, sensitization. And I hate talking in general terms like men and women, because all men are different, all women are different. there are some women out there who could use some sensitization as well. But and so maybe that was what really bothered me about their concept was, well, all men need to be more sensitive. And the woman...
Well, see, they're kind of radical generalization. I've encountered people like that before.
Mm-hmm.
I had a Dianic in Florida tell me that I couldn't possibly be a witch because I had testicles.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't possibly understand being a witch. And I was like, okay, that was a nice conversation. Have a nice day. And she wanted to continue it, and I, you know, left.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when somebody starts with that, there's no talking to them. There's no conversation going to take place, and I didn't want to get in an argument and lower myself to it.
Yep.
Don't try to teach a pig to sing. It's just going to frustrate you and piss off the pig.
Mm-hmm.
So... but I've dealt with this kind of radical, this attitude that we're going to undo 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 years of patriarchy
mm-hmm.
by having, and we're going to find balance by swinging the pendulum all the way to the other extreme and have this kind of radical matriarchy with, you know, Amazon guards or whatever it is that they think we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to find balance by pushing the pendulum to the other extreme. When they fail to understand that balance is not achieved in the extreme, and that the swinging of a pendulum is not balance,
mm-hmm.
it is perpetually unbalanced. That balance is sought in the moment. Balance is found in a touch,
mm-hmm.
in a smile. Balance is found when two people stand up side by side. That's where balance is achieved,
mm-hmm.
in a partnership. Balance is not achieved by subjugating one or the other.
Exactly.
And I'm reminded of the symbolic great rite.
Mm-hmm.
That says something to the effect of the god is not greater than the goddess, nor is the goddess greater than the god. But both are equal, and neither is complete without the other. That is the balance we should be seeking. Not the balance of extremes, not the swinging of a pendulum, perpetually out of balance, perpetually seeking balance. A pendulum isn't achieving balance, it is seeking it. So, a comment in the chat room, I do believe we all need to be in touch with the other side of ourselves, but to remove the testosterone completely, the word feminazi is used here, is not correct. But this person sees some circles in their area, not recognizing the God aspects at all.
Yeah.
And, you know, that just goes against all of nature. You know?
Agreed. There are some facts of nature that people need to understand. When a woman is pregnant, particularly from 6 to 9 months, and right after she gives birth, she's somewhat vulnerable. She cannot do certain things physically. That you know, it's part of the reason why we have partners, and we need someone to protect us and hunt for us and gather for us during that time. I mean, going back to the cave, you could not. You know, it was very difficult to be a woman and live completely alone and have a child and birth that child and hunt for that child and feed that child. These are just, you know, laws of nature. And so it is...
And anthropologists think most children are born looking a lot more like their fathers than their mothers, because anthropologically it helps the you know, the woman is automatically, to a certain degree, bonded with this thing that comes out of her.
Mm-hmm.
But for the male to see itself in this child,
mm-hmm.
is part of that anthropological, part of the genetics, mm-hmm. part of nature, helping to create that bond with the father.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And removing that from the equation, discounting that,
mm-hmm.
as, you know, I don't know, maybe we've got, I don't know, 10,000, 20,000 years of evidence to support the idea that, I don't know, it's kind of worked up until, you know, the last two, just three generations.
Yeah. Well, in the last two,
you know,
or three generations... In the last two or three generations, it has become commonplace for both parents to have to work outside the home. There is not one parent primarily in the home, you know, being the caregiver. And I think that as a society and as a species, because this is becoming more commonplace around the world, not just here in the United States, it's having an effect on our evolution. And we have to decide as a species and as humans how we want it to affect us.
Hmm.
Were you trying to say something?
No.
Oh, okay. If you look at the example of the Galapagos Islands for, you know, Darwin coming across the Galapagos Islands, each island had specific things about it that forced these lizards to change somewhat from each other on each island. And they all started as the same lizard. And so I see that now, you know, it's external pressures create evolution. What kind of external pressure do we want to exert on? Specifically tonight we're talking about male role models in the home. What kind of pressure do we want to exert on those male role models in order to make them quote unquote change according to these women who felt that?
Being a little more sensitive might not be a bad thing. Do we mm-hmm. really want to emasculate?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is the world going to be, you know, is the species going to be better for the emasculation of men?
You know, at a visceral core level, I consider myself to be a fairly well-educated, well-spoken, forward-thinking woman. I try to, you know, read and educate myself about things. But I'll be honest with you, I like a guy to be a guy. I don't necessarily want one of these overly soft-skinned, soft hands, overly sensitive men. I want somebody who, when I come home at night and I've had a really bad day, he can put his arms around me and it makes me feel safe. And it makes me feel loved and protected.
That's not a bad
thing. Yeah. And I don't necessarily know for me as a person if I would get that from a man who was more sensitive and less
manly.
Less in touch with his maleness. Yeah. I don't necessarily want a guy, and I don't think most women really do. I think this is something that's being sold to us by the media, and I'm probably going to get lots of letters about tonight's show. I think this is something that's being sold to us. Yeah.
@gmail.com. Keep those kinds of letters coming.
Yeah, and it's funny because when you look on TV over the last 10 to 15 years, all of a sudden you'll see TV ads with, you know, these really buff guys in them all of a sudden, whereas years ago that wasn't on TV. It was always, you know, we always sold cars with attractive women, and then there was the whole backlash about that sort of thing. And so advertisers started putting, you know, well-built men in these commercials as well. So apparently women like to look at men who look like men with, you know, arms and chests and stuff. But apparently we want these testosterone puffed up guys to come home and cook dinner and wash the dishes and, you know, tuck us in at night and do everything and take care of us, or not be in our lives. So are we reverting to what we accused men of 20 years ago, of looking at us as nothing but sex objects? Because now that's what you're talking about.
I'm not sure that sex objects even fits from the attitudes that I was hearing. You know, I mean, maybe, you know, sperm donors.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, we want them to look nice, lend us your sperm, and then get out of our lives, which is kind of what I'm hearing. Oh, and by the way, you can pay child support for the next 18 or 21 years or whatever. I have issue with that. And so, yeah, I know, but I don't see how we can say as women that that's okay when 20 years ago we were very upset of being considered nothing but sex objects and objectified, and we still hear about it, you know. Oh, you know, women are just objectified in the media. Well, we've done the same thing now to men. Do we feel like that's equal? Let's put us on equal footing with them, or has taken something away from us as a gender of females, lowering ourselves to do what we accused men of doing to us all those years, and how has it affected our opinion of men and of ourselves, frankly?
Yeah, is it empowerment or is it just selling out to the media?
Mm-hmm.
Are you really making the choice for yourself, or are you just buying into the storyline?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting thoughts. Let's go ahead and take a short break. We've got a song. I'm in a mood of poking sticks at this whole thing. So I'm going to play a song called The Pipes of Pan by Darv the Bard. I don't know. It seems to me to be somewhat all about masculinity. Anyway, like I said, I'm just in the mood to poke sticks at the sharp ones too. That I sharpened and hardened in the fire because, you know, I'm still a man and can build fire and sharpen sticks and. And dance around the fire and call on the horned god and basically be a man.
But you know what?
So
you can also sit down and brush a 9-year-old girl's hair and braid her hair and be gentle that way.
And that is
the hallmark, truly, of somebody who's a real man, who knows when to be gentle and who knows when he needs to, you know, pump up the testosterone and make the fire and protect the family.
Well, of
and that's what's lacking.
Being a man is not the caricature of manhood that you see in the media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the father energy is not all about, you know, just the you know, hunting and killing and I'm going to, you know, dragging a woman by her hair and bullshit like that.
Mm-hmm.
A real man is a partner. A real man is a friend. A real man is a caregiver and shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the male energy is supposed to be, shepherding, caring for,
yep,
protecting, and providing for. That's the male energy, not this caricature of manhood.
Yeah, it's not John Wayne. Mm-hmm. When
well,
we
hell,
come back
John
from the break.
Wayne, you know, even John Wayne had a, you know, had a shepherding provider style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll talk about it when we come back from the break. You wanted to say something about when we come back?
Yep.
Okay. Alrighty then, we'll stick around, everybody. Listen to the Pipes of Pan, and we'll be back here in just a few minutes.
All the wonder that they hold, but how many people really care? they sound across our sacred land of old.
One power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it, and we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
You're listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to the show.
And welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power, and this is the Power Hours. And Robin, my co-host, my partner, my love, how you doing, darling?
Well.
Hey, there you are. So before the break, we were basically talking about your experience with some, the word was used in the chat room, I'll go ahead and use it again, feminazi.
I hate that word, but okay.
I know, but that's okay. I think when you start talking about eugenics and it somehow starts to fit. and, you know, some of their breeding concept sounds a whole lot like eugenics, so maybe the feminazi isn't so far off. But anyway, their radical contention that swinging the pendulum in the opposite direction to this matriarchy that subjugates manhood, and you know, apparently seeks balance through perpetuating another several thousand years of oppression, is somehow the answer to is the future of the species and the emasculation of males, and generally, cutting off the testicles of manhood. Am I missing something, or did I sum it up pretty well?
Pretty well. I mean, it was maybe a little extreme. The cutting off of the testicles is perhaps symbolic, but not necessarily what they were endorsing. But
well, I don't know.
I do understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
The
men that they're talking about evolving into sound like emasculated little, androgynous germs.
That is kind of where I saw them wanting the male species to go, as, almost a... Well, we don't need men in our lives other than to procreate, and men are useless, basically. And I really took umbrage with that. I mean, that really just... I mean, I probably more than most other women, it affected me because... having to come home and tell your 5-year-old daughter that her father passed away and he's never coming home again gives you a different perspective of how important that male role model is in your home to your child. And the change in her personality after Daddy was, you know, after her father was gone, will always stay with me. And there's nothing I could do to protect her from it. At 5 years old, she had no fear. She would walk down the hall in a completely dark hall. She wasn't afraid of spiders. She wasn't afraid of anything. Her father dies, and within a few weeks, all of a sudden, she's afraid of the dark. She's having nightmares. You know, she is afraid of spiders. She developed a lot of fears, and that's very common because the child has now lost its security. It's lost its father protector. And I had to learn how to become that for her. And it wasn't a natural thing because, you know, I'm the mom. You know, up until that point, I was the stay-at-home mom who was just the mom. I was the nurturer, the caregiver, you know, and I didn't have to worry about being the protector, the pit bull, the, you know, the vigilant. I had my husband, I had her father. And so for them to say, well, the man has offered, you know, adds nothing to the equation of a family, or the father, I should say, because it doesn't necessarily have to be a male gender, as discussed, but the father role that doesn't necessarily, you know, add anything to the equation, I find offensive, I guess, is really the word, you know. And then what I really wanted to do was stand up and tell this woman to her face, when you have to go home and tell your child that their father's not coming home ever again, you and I will talk. But, of course, I couldn't do that.
Yeah. All right, before we get too far in, I do want to remind everybody that we have phone lines open tonight at 646-564-9714. Make sure that you hit the one button to let us know you want to talk. It throws up a flag in the queue. And the only rule is that you stick to the issues. Do not degenerate into name-calling or attacking the messenger. Let's talk about the issues. Otherwise, you know, I'll just hit the little orange X and everything will be okay. Because, you know, I'm the protector. So, you know, before the break, you were wanting to get into the idea of, and I mentioned the archetype, the father archetype. And I think you wanted to continue that a little bit more and deal with some of the masculine archetypes and look at the benefits of these masculine archetypes. And this is stuff that, you know, like I said, I've been preaching for 5 years here on the radio. Mm-hmm. And before that, longer. That we're not raising young men to be, or young boys to be good men. We're raising them to be caricatures.
Yeah, you know, it was funny.
I was raised to be a gentleman. I was raised to treat people with respect. And to treat a woman like a lady and treat her with respect until it was time not to. And that was her choice and choice. You know, I was raised to be a protector, a provider. The word gentleman isn't by accident. It doesn't mean anything other than what it sounds. You know, gentility is not emasculation. But a gentleman can be caring. A gentleman can be respectful, and a gentleman can be a good provider and protector. That's
and
his
nurturer.
Job. And nurturer.
Right, but from a
and
different...
I was trained from birth to be all of that. I had a family that raised me. And I try to pass this information along to any of the children in my world, not just to the young boys or the young men that are coming up that I deal with, but also to show the young ladies how they're supposed to be treated, so that they can demand to be treated right. mm-hmm. not to emasculate men or androgynize them, but to understand that a good man is a strong man who will do what he needs to take care of his family.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll do it with love and with respect.
And with tenderness when it is warranted.
Yes.
And kindness.
When it is, possible, yes. That is, but, mm-hmm. but that's what a man is.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny because at this same event that we were at with these women, we also encountered two very needy young men who were in their, you know, one was in his probably mid-20s and the other one is in their early 30s. Both floundering a little bit in life, neither of which admittedly had a real father role model in their home, and really said clearly in their own, each in their own way to me, that they didn't know how to be a man and they didn't know how to go forward. And it made me realize that there are so few really strong male role models today for these young men, other than, like, you know, football players and movie stars and rock stars, which are caricatures. They're not real men. They're one aspect of what a man should be, not the whole picture.
And after we began to interact with these two young men, they spent a great deal of time at our camp.
Yes, they did.
And both of them at different times told me in a, I wouldn't say needy way, but certainly in a way that expressed their desire for guidance.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Both of them told me at different times, I didn't have a father.
Mm-hmm.
And they said it in such a way that it indicated that they were looking for someone
mm-hmm.
to be that guy.
Yeah.
We've got a caller in the queue, and we're starting to get toward the top of the hour. So let's go ahead and bring this caller in. I don't know who it is. I didn't have a chance to screen them. So,
mm-hmm.
All right, caller, you are live. How are you tonight?
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Are you there?
Yes, we are here.
Hi.
Okay, hi.
You are on the air.
Hi.
What's your name?
Alfie.
Alfie? All right. Alfie, how are you tonight?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Doing well.
Good.
Doing well. So what were
so
your
you've been listening
that you wanted to hear?
Well, I didn't know what your subject was for this evening, but I did hear you about talking about role models and men and such.
Yeah.
I guess the only conclusion I come to is the independence of the person that they are. That we don't need any other role model except ourselves.
Well,
answers within ourselves, but I do think we need role models. I do think we need, you know, we talk to the ancestors. We talk about the ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we look
True.
At the archetypes. We look at the stories of the gods and goddesses as an example, as examples mm-hmm. of how to live.
Yeah.
And I think that if we have older people in our lives that can help us, that can give us someone to look up to, someone to emulate, someone that we respect, to want to be more like that. I think that serves a very positive purpose in our world.
Also,
I totally agree. But what if you don't have that?
Well, that's what we're talking about, is why is it that that's so lacking in people's lives today? And why is it that there's this whole faction of, you know, society that thinks that it's not important, that we don't need... Go ahead.
Sorry, I'm not talking about if you don't have that, like, as a negative person. I'm talking about what if a parent passed away very early in your life and you don't have that role model to go to.
Well, I will tell you that from the day I was born, I did not have my father in my life. But I had three uncles who stepped in. My daughter lost her father at she was five. And I had to come home and tell her that.
I'm so sorry. Yeah.
And 5 years later, now Terry is in her life, and she of her own accord one day decided she was going to start calling him Dad. I never encouraged that. She just took to it naturally. She's 9, and
and she's a little girl.
Yeah.
How much stronger are you now, though? You think about that,
well,
right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But it's it was a huge struggle. I mean, a huge struggle. And if I had if I had my brothers, I would rather have not had to put her through it. I mean, for me, I'm an adult, but a 5-year-old to have to face losing their father, very difficult.
And the conversation really started with a discussion of people that want to, this group of people that want to enforce the removal of fathers.
Yeah.
You know, this enforced removal of father figures.
I'm so sorry. I'm not familiar with that at all. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say I was telling a story early on. You may have joined us late about I went to this seminar, and these women in the seminar were all talking about how in the future, once all us old people like me die and change and the revolution happens, all women will have no use for men, and they will all have babies and live together in houses and all take care of each other's children. So we won't need to have men in our lives except to procreate. And I really took umbrage at that. And that's what gave me the concept of wanting to have this show tonight.
Yeah, that would make me very nauseous.
Okay. See, I'm 53. I'm 53.
Yeah.
And so they were looking at me as like the old Archie Bunker, you know, who thought that, gee, men have a purpose and a role.
Oh, my gosh. I would never even think of that. But that's the closed mind who lives to even stretch beyond, the 1980s.
Yeah. So you were saying, Alfie, you were saying that what if you didn't grow up with that as a role model?
Mm-hmm.
And was that sort of part of your experience?
Actually, I was very blessed to grow up with a mother, but my mother didn't have – my mother's mother passed away in her teen years.
Mm-hmm.
So things get frustrating at times with her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, my father wasn't much of a dad. And I found positive role models, positive male role models in other places. And managed to learn how to be a man and a gentleman. And, you know, I'm thinking you heard that part of the conversation. And, you know, being raised in the South to be the head of a large Southern family, I was trained. Do what?
How south?
South Tennessee, right up against Georgia.
Oh, okay.
Chattanooga. So
I lived there for a while.
You know, and, you know, I was raised to be a gentleman. I was raised to have respect for people, to respect women.
And yourself.
Other people. And myself. Absolutely. That didn't come from a single parent lifestyle. That had a lot of people, a lot of people in my life, and I had positive male role models that helped me learn what it was really to be a man. And I think that we've got a couple of generations now of men that don't have those role models. In many ways, they're enforced out of children's lives.
It's being forgotten, is what I feel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And set aside, and business comes through with parents, and they just forget about these morals that they just don't play, upon their kids. And it's it doesn't take much because society wants that to happen. But when parents don't follow through, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then the radical feminist movement is actually actively trying to remove men from the picture, like these people that Robin encountered a couple of weekends ago.
That's crazy. I need men.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that was kind of my thought, too, was, you know, I kind of like having a guy around to mow the lawn and take out the garbage and... You know, I mean, it's not like,
and I know what you're saying. It's not even about that. It's an equal partnership, and that's what it's supposed to be. We both respect each other, and that's what makes a good friendship, marriage, all the above.
Right.
Exactly.
And you know, again, going back to the fact that it doesn't have to necessarily be a man and a woman. It can be two people of the same gender, but one person takes on the father role naturally and one person takes on the mother role naturally. Or
they share them equally so that they both. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or they share those roles equally so that the child is getting what they need. But children benefit definitely from having those two role models in their life, the mother and the father. And
they do, but there's nothing, you know, of course, if there's only one or the other, it's still wonderful as well, as you know. So,
yes. Well, you know, I had to learn
on their own.
I was a single father for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
I raised two daughters by myself for, about 4 years. That's why I can braid my little girl's hair better than my mom. Before we'd been together, a month, I was already braiding her hair. And
you probably learned more than they did.
Mm-hmm.
the masculine energy, the male energy doesn't have to be this caricature. It doesn't have to be this macho Jersey Shores.
Let's not even go there.
That's the caricature. That's what we're holding up to little boys and saying this is a man.
But that's what we need to
set aside
and say that's not real life.
Right.
We need to let them know that this is pathetic.
But that's what the media is holding up.
Mm.
For years, on TV is what's supposed to be in.
Exactly. Male role models on television and sitcoms and in movies, and they always see
video games.
There are these extremes of either, buffoons or Rambo. There's no in between. It's just bizarre.
Yeah, or gangster or something. So anyway, we are at the top of the hour. Alfie, thank you so much for calling in. Really appreciate your input. It's nice to know that we're not, voices crying in the wilderness.
We're never alone, and what you make, life is what you are. So, awesome being with you guys.
Yeah, have a good night.
Well,
thanks.
Thank you again for calling in. Blessed be.
Blessed be.
Good night.
So, we are at the top of the hour. We're going to run long just by saying good night. So, as always, if you want to get in touch with any member of the staff, hosts, management, if you want to write, a flaming email and tell me what an idiot I am, I don't care. It's not going to change how I feel or think. But if it, if it helps you venture spleen, then go ahead. The email address is surn.org, that is surn.org@gmail.com. Let us know that you heard the show. We've also got a Facebook page, Spiritual Unity Radio Network on Facebook. You can get in touch with Robin and I, we have a shared email account that we use for people to communicate with us, and that is littlestonebridge@gmail.com. And check out our Little Stone Bridge Path Workings Facebook page. When you go to that page, click the like button and let us know that you're around. And it'll help you to get some announcements when we have stuff coming up. And, my lady, how does someone find you?
They can find me on my Facebook pages, the first one being the Spiritual Wellness Physical Health Facebook page, the second one being my personal page, Robin A. McKean, and, of course, at Little Stone Bridge Path Workings as well. So any one of those three pages, or, again, you can email me at thelittlestonebridge@gmail.com email address.
Sorry, that is littlestonebridge@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
The V doesn't go on the beginning of it. It starts with Little Stonebridge. Okay. Let's see. Getting in touch with me, you can find me on Facebook. Terry Power shows me in North Copley, Pennsylvania. Or find my public figure page. It is Rev Terry Power HP. Or follow me on Twitter at Rev Terry Power HP. And again, if you go to the public figure page, click like, because that helps you to follow what we're doing and what I'm doing. Most of our pictures and stuff end up starting there and circulating amongst our other pages. So, let's see. Final thoughts.
Final thoughts.
My lady?
I found it highly ironic at this event in the same weekend that we encountered several young men who were searching for role models, and also encountered a group of women who felt that you know, men were of no use anymore. Something needs to be done here, because what's happening is women are recognizing that men are floundering, and they don't know what they're supposed to be or who they're supposed to be or how they're supposed to behave apparently in the younger generation for me, and have decided that because they're floundering, they're of no use. Something has to be done, because this is just not a good it's just not a good situation, and it's only going to get worse. One of the things I saw when I moved from New Jersey out here to Pennsylvania was the local prison county, the county prison is filled with boys 18 to 24. And you can't throw a rock around here without finding a young man who's been in jail, in the county jail, for something or another. I was appalled and shocked. I grew up in New York. I grew up in New York City, and I did not know anybody growing up as a teenager or young adult who'd ever been in jail. I lived in New Jersey for 20 years at the Jersey Shore, Monmouth and Ocean County, and didn't know anyone personally who had ever been in jail. I moved to Pennsylvania in the middle of nowhere, and like everybody I know, their kid or their husband or their, you know, cousin or uncle has been in jail. It's like, hey, you know, the vacation. I don't understand it. It really concerned me, and obviously young men don't have enough. Yeah, and they don't have enough positive stuff to keep them busy.
Well, I mean, you know, generals can't be role models. Policemen can't be role models. You know, we can't have positive role models. The media doesn't allow it.
Yeah, I can remember.
So we're going to have to do it for ourselves. We're going to have to do it in our pagan communities and maybe spread that out into the secular community. Maybe
mm-hmm.
It's time for me to start doing men's workshops.
I think that's an excellent idea. Somebody's got to take up this mantle. I mean, I actually was looking online this week at what kind of men's workshops are out there. And I have to tell you, there's not a whole lot.
Now, maybe it's time for me to start teaching people what I grew up learning and share that and see if we can get to the young men while there's a chance.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you guys out there have any ideas of how to help get the message out there and where we can do these workshops? Let us know.
Mm-hmm.
Email littlestonebridge@gmail.com.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
So my final thought, well, that pretty well, that's getting there pretty close with the workshops, but I just want to remind people that a pendulum swinging to the extreme is not balance. It is not achieving balance. It is seeking balance. And until we seek true balance in the moment, in each moment, then we will not find it. That's the part that people need to understand, is that we cannot undo one extreme by enforcing the other extreme. I was listening to some books on tape recently that talked about how rebels end up being the being worse tyrants than whatever they overthrow.
Mm.
And I kind of see that. You know, Orwell only missed it by about 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
We're in an age where the media tells us what to think.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't think it with them, then we're ostracized. And, you know, good thinking will be rewarded. Bad thinking will be punished.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time to rebel in that way as well. Passive resistance has been a very useful tool in the past, and I think it can be again. Passive resistance is not rebellion. Rebels become tired. Passive resistance is making change.
Well, do you see, you know, there's this homesteaders off the grid movement going on across the country and across the world, actually. Do you see that as a type of passive resistance to this sort of thought police society?
Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm.
I see it more as a rebellion against corporate greed,
well,
which I can buy into as well.
Yeah.
People that are afraid that the wheels are going to come off. And
mm-hmm.
if the people that you talked to a couple of weeks ago get their way, the wheels will come off.
Oh, yeah.
The wheels will come off of society. We're headed down that road now, and unless we can get a handle on things and help young boys to become good men,
mm-hmm.
the wheels are going to come off. And those off-the-grid people are just one step away from preppers.
Mm-hmm.
And how many of them are actually preppers and just, you know, not talking about what the, you know, the ammunition they're hoarding,
mm-hmm.
you know, when they go off the grid?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is a growing movement of people that are just simply afraid. And I used to think they were a bit wacky, but I'm not so sure anymore.
Yeah.
So we need to seek balance. And remember, and I'm going to leave you with this, and I'm going to say these words, and then I'm going to wish you a good week. And this is from the symbolic Great Rite. I said it earlier, I'm going to say it again. The god is not greater than the goddess, nor is the goddess greater than the god. But both are equal, and neither is complete without the other. May you have a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night and blessed be.
Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.